Today on Seculo, the DOJ declares political war on conservatives.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And the war continues. So we'll be joined today on the broadcast by Congressman Jim Jordan and Rick Rennell as well. That's in the second half hour of the broadcast. We want to take more of your calls today at 1-800-684-3110 if you've got questions about the FBI raid. And I love how there's even, you know, the Democrats say, oh, not really raid. What else do you call it when it's no notice and they show up at your door?
When they went into Roger Stone's house, what do they call it?
Yeah, I mean, that, raid. Yeah, right.
The media I'm talking about.
So, again, we want to take your calls on it at 1-800-684-3110. We believe, again, it's political war has been declared by multiple government agencies on you, on conservatives. They start with this unprecedented move against President Trump. Remember, they've gone after grassroots Americans before. The IRS, as Lindsey Graham said yesterday, 87,000 new IRS agents is bigger than the UK's military. 87,000, and he's calling an IRS army to come after middle-class working Americans, the backbone of our country. But again, I think there's a lot of questions out there. We hope to answer as much as we can today on the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. Because, Dad, we're not just saying, there's a lot of news about President Trump. But then you see Congressman Scott Perry walking with his family. FBI's walking up to them. Three FBI agents seizing his phone.
Yeah, which raises a whole lot of issues.
Again, member of Congress.
Well,
he is with his family. It just seems like it's all publicity stunts.
Well, I mean, it's not just the publicity of it, but we have to look at something else here. You have separation of powers. So you got the executive branch now going after members of Well, first they went after the former president in an unprecedented way. I mean, in our nation's history, we've never had this happen, ever. First of all, if you wanted documents that they thought were at the president's resident, former president's residence in Florida, send a subpoena. It's called a subpoena ducis tecum. Subpoena for the production of documents. But they don't do that. They escalate everything up to this heightened level of angst. I mean, unbelievably so. And then the next day, they pick up a congressman, grab his phone, download all his material, right? And there's reports that others may be subject to this. So the FBI is doing something that is totally unprecedented, completely unprecedented here. And I think we just have to be cognizant of the fact that what we've seen develop and what we've seen happen it does weaponize the FBI. But, you know, are we shocked? This is the ghost of Mueller past. That's what this is. And it's going to be all this hype about what's down there. And then you end up with that 800-page report, which basically had nothing.
Yeah.
And if they did this for documents, that is something else.
It should outrage everyone, because this is it's an unprecedented move. It's an attack on you as a conservative, and they want an army of agents to come after you. Also, I'm done talking about how great the FBI frontline is. I think that there are people left on that frontline who do great work, but I bet they're in the minority. I think it's totally corrupt. I think Jim Jordan will talk about it with him. The whistleblowers have said they're purging the people out. So anything emanating from Washington, D.C.'s control, but it's being carried out by bureaucrats who also hate the former president, and they don't like conservatives. They don't like your viewpoint. They don't like when you say drain the swamp, because oftentimes that means getting rid of their useless job. You know, there's so many people that are just unnecessary in the federal government, and it could be so much more smooth. So when you say that, you're not just saying, I want to change, you know, the priorities of the FBI. You're saying, I want to get rid of a lot of these people. We need to get rid of a lot of these jobs that are unnecessary in the federal government. We heard from callers saying, you know, they go to the main IRS headquarters, there's nobody there. That anybody who's not there with an office there should not have a job, because they're obviously not that valuable. And instead, what are they doing? They're spending their time playing politics with the weapons of the federal executive branch, and they're all law enforcement agencies. Again, we have a CIA to protect us, okay? The FBI is supposed to be enforcing, you know, going after drug cartels, not looking for pieces of paper. I mean, think about that. Not raiding homes over paper, stealing, you know, phones in front of congressman's kid. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. We'll hear from you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we are being treated like as conservatives. And I mentioned this before, like drug cartels leaders. You're raiding homes like this. And it literally, I think if it comes down to, we don't know yet, but if it comes down to this piece of paper, because you had the nice letters between you and Kim Jong-un, and really we wanted this in our archive, and you can make a copy of it. I mean, like that kind of thing. So they could raid a house for 9 hours. Which, by the way,
tells you they're not,
they lied on documents to FISA. What would put them from lying here? I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but they had 9 hours there. They could have planted whatever they wanted. I mean, this is an FBI that's done this before to Donald Trump. They've lied to the FISA court.
Changed an email. Let's be specific. A lawyer with the FBI changed the content of an email.
Altered evidence.
To say the exact opposite of what the email actually said. And then they used that FISA warrant to do what? To get a they used that in the FISA court to get a warrant. A foreign intelligence surveillance warrant on an American citizen.
Yep.
So we shouldn't be shocked at anything. Let me say this, though. I'm, before you get into did anybody put evidence there or not, we got to ask the fundamental question. And the fundamental question in all of this is, what was the basis upon which they had to go to the level of seeking and obtaining a search warrant from a magistrate? And that's what I asked that question. Because normally, if you have a document dispute, you subpoena the documents. I wonder if there were ever subpoenas issued for documents here. Was there ever litigation on this? Nothing that we know of, right? I mean, so we don't know of any of that. So I think the fundamental question is, why was this act necessary, which escalates already political tension? Now, you say to yourself, why would you do this right now? And that's the question, because Jordan, politically, you know this end. This doesn't help them, the Democrats.
No, it's put Donald Trump front and center. It's made him a martyr already. It looks like the political persecution doesn't look like the political persecution of Donald Trump continues. And what we know, we tie this into how it affects all of you. It's not just the politics of 2022 or 2024, but it's also that they want to treat you the same way. That's why they want to double the size of the IRS. They want you to have that same kind of pressure. Who's going to be knocking on my door because of my political views, because I happen to support, you know, America First agenda or a MAGA candidate? And so, and we've seen the derogatory terms, the ultra MAGA, this MAGA, that MAGA, and it's always backfired on the Democrats. I will say, you know, I went from one political place last week. This move happens, and you start thinking, you know, there could be a lot of people that vote against Democrats, which doesn't always get you over the line. But if you add those people to people who are voting four candidates they like, you can start seeing wave elections because people are just saying, you know what? You got they're incompetent to lead, bad actors.
Weaponizing the agencies.
You got Merrick Garland who can't take pressure. So when the left was upset with him for the last year about not doing things like this, now he's doing all their stupid things. It's like he's doing what the liberal activists said, raid the house. And he obviously wasn't moving forward that way. And then he felt the pressure. And you've heard the guy talk. He's not fighting back hard in these meetings.
Well,
he's signing right off on what his advisors. I think the whole problem with this administration is they have young advisors who are extreme liberal activists shoving the paper to get signed off.
With no experience.
Right.
So I think this is a problem. I mean, this is a Washington problem. Let's go ahead and take Mario's call from Maryland. I think it's right on point here.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my call. Sure. So I was calling because so I'm a young conservative myself, and I actually live in D.C., and, for most, I would say that for like, the initial parts of, like, my adult life, I hear all these things about the FBI and with the raid happening and everything. It's such a big entity, and at this point, right, it becoming so powerful. My question is, how can everyday people like me, feel any trust for these
Don't trust them at all. I don't think you should trust them right now. I think if you're a conservative, especially working in Washington, D.C., and you work for anybody who's a candidate or any elected official.
Congressional office?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Do not trust the FBI, one, to be fair. Two, that's the starting point. Don't no trust at all, especially if you're involved in politics. Be wary, question, assume the worst. You can say that because we have evidence of them assuming there's like the IRS, I assume the worst because I have evidence of them doing the worst, using their power to target Americans because of their political views. I mean, that is what they've done to Donald Trump. Now, he happened to be the former president of the United States, so it's unprecedented, but it's done because they do not like his political views and his message.
And they thought they could get, the other part of this is they actually thought they could get away with it, which they did.
And if it is these
documents.
You
said this, in all of the checks that go into government making a decision of this magnitude, you would think somebody would have said, politically, this could cause unrest in the country. Legally, can't we demand the documents through a subpoena or another process? And why would we escalate this? So somewhere along the way, the system should have said, stop this. Just like the system should have said when Bob Mueller knew after weeks there was no Russia collusion, shut the investigation down. But instead they tried to turn it into an obstruction investigation.
I don't know the FBI agent's name, but they took him from the guy who set up the people, got in trouble for the court. No one got convicted. Remember they were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan, the Democrat Whitmer,
right.
And they realized that was an FBI sting operation and it was a total setup. That guy who failed there is leading this investigation. He got promoted. So this is also a problem.
Supervised by Bruce Orr?
Probably, but they promote the worst inside their organization. So this is a guy who got popped by a court saying, no one, two not guilties, two mistrials, because this was just a sting. None of these people had any interest at all, and the FBI was, again, in the wrong.
I do want to remind people.
And they take
people.
That person, they say, let's make him the head of Washington, D.C., and put him in charge of investigating the former president of the United States. Since he couldn't do a local Michigan he got in trouble there with the court, couldn't get a single conviction over trying to kidnap the governor because they said this is entrapment. Let's put him in charge of Washington because you fail up in the bureaucracy as long as you're on board with them. You fail up. The losers get appointed higher and higher because they have the political views that make those in charge that are in line with those in charge. So it doesn't matter that they bungle Michigan. And look like that should have been the end of his FBI career. Not a promotion to Washington, D.C., which is their biggest field office outside of their main headquarters.
Well, it's their most powerful field office, too. I mean, that in New York, are the two, Southern District, are the two most powerful. But I think what we have to realize here, and it's exactly what you said, the bureaucracy, and I've said this about the IRS, I'll say it here, these agencies are incapable of self-correcting. So all of the checks in the system failed here. Everything that would have said, no, we shouldn't do this. No, we shouldn't do this. No, it went up to the associate attorney general or the DAG. No, we shouldn't do this. And what happens instead? It gets approved. And it gets approved in an unprecedented way. And it politically is going to backfire, already has. And if you're a conservative in a congressional office and congressmen are being picked off the beach, with three FBI agents approaching him, never asking for the data before, from what Congressman Perry has said. You have to ask yourself, what else is going on here? And I think that's the fundamental problem of you. When you take a lack of accountability out, you have is a runaway bureaucracy. Now, it's very good that Jim Jordan, who's going to be joining us, has taken steps, and so has Congressman Turner. And look, if the Republicans take back the House and Senate, Merrick Garland's job is going to be very uncomfortable because he's going to have to answer for these actions. But you know what's going to happen here is my prediction with this investigation and that they went in this raid. And I don't have any insight into this other than just practicing law for 44 years. Here's my theory. I think this is going to be the Mueller investigation. There's going to not be anything there. But they get these moments. Roger Stone's house, you know, Manafort's house, now the president's house. I mean, are we shocked that it's progressed from political operatives to the former president? I'm not. But if people ask and call and say, how do we trust the bureaucracy? The answer is, just like with the IRS, exactly what Jordan said, do not trust the bureaucracy. It's not just the leadership. Those agents went down there to do this. Nobody said, gee, is this the right thing to be doing for the country?
Yeah, they don't quit. I mean, at the end point, if you believe the directions you're getting,
now, there are some whistleblowers.
There are whistleblowers coming forward. We're going to talk about that with Congressman Jim Jordan the next day. I want to dive into more with him, how he feels about the FBI as a whole.
Yeah.
And Rick Riddell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast.
Next half hour.
Next segment of the broadcast.
Oh, Rick is, yes.
Yeah, so we're going to talk to him also on the politics of this. I told him yesterday to take off his ACLJ cap, put on the Super PAC cap that he runs for President Trump. So, again, we'll talk about all this. We're going to take your calls, too. So keep calling in, and we can take calls while we've got Rick on at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Stay up to date on everything at ACLJ.org. And I'm serious. I've shifted from this viewpoint of, let's say, but those everybody else, the FBI is wonderful. Now, they now have to prove that we should trust them. They've lost all trust. As I said to that caller, trust nothing from the federal government right now. Zero from any agency, but especially the law enforcement agencies. Start there. Make them prove that they're trustworthy. These agents, these whistleblowers are telling you they're purging out conservatives. That means if they're coming to you, they already have a distaste for you because they've been politically chosen to be leaders inside the bureaucracy. We've said, we want to bring about and make this leftist FBI agent. We're going to promote him. We're not going to promote the conservative. In fact, we're going to make them feel uncomfortable so they quit. Be right back on Secular. After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
going to be taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. So start getting those in. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you've got questions about so far the FBI raid, kind of what happens next, and this general line of feeling, and I think that it's right to feel that way, that the federal government has been weaponized against you. Donald Trump being their center point, but now they want 87,000 new IRS army to come after you. That's the army that's going to come after you. We had a caller say, should I trust the FBI? We said no. He works in Washington,
like
D.C.
The IRS.
You have to go that way. Rick Rinnell, again, senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, joining us again today on the broadcast. Rick, just right off the bat, you know, now that we kind of 24 hours or a little bit more into this, your overall reaction, I feel like the base of support for President Trump like doubled overnight. Again, it woke up a lot of people who were not yet re-engaged in the political process.
Yeah, I agree. There's been a lot of aha moments across this country for people who are watching this situation and saying, wow, they're really going after Donald Trump in a personal way. They're attacking him at his home. And so I think that the paradigm has shifted quite a bit. And what I'm hearing consistently is people saying that the Biden administration overreached and are being way too political with the Justice Department. I think most people agree with that.
You know, Rick, one of the things I think is probably they overreach, and they're going to probably, as usual with these things, underdeliver. And that is that, you know, this was a very dramatic move by the Department of Justice. And one of the things I said earlier was the no counter checks within the agencies to say, hey, you know, is this the right thing to do? Should we maybe ask, you know, keep the negotiations going? Should we subpoena the documents instead of executing a search warrant on the president, former president's home? So they ramp this up. And the thing that has me concerned is someone that's been involved in legal practice for 43 years now, and also has, you know, represented the president, but also as a private lawyer in defense cases generally, is these agencies, it started with the IRS, we use that as the best example, are incapable of self-correcting. And now it's getting down to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I mean, this is the same FBI who had an FBI lawyer lie to a FISA court to get a FISA warrant. And we're supposed to say now, oh, they went after the former president's resident. That's okay. We're going to trust that. Now, I think the answer to that has to be no. So the question is, and you've been involved in big bureaucracies in government, are we at that? Are we at that tipping point of inability to self-correct here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're big agencies and they are unable to self-correct. I think that's a great point. I don't believe that they will have enough kind of self-reflection to say, let's fix this. I mean, certainly we saw it from the FISA warrant. They continued down the road, even though there were many that were seeing the disaster that was unfolding. They continued to call Donald Trump a Russian agent, even though they knew that it was wrong. But also,
let's try reconnect with Rick real quick, just to reconnect the side. I think that's right too. That is still the narrative on the left. All the stuff we fought for, the Russia hoax, the impeachment one, impeachment two, the special counsel, they don't feel like any of that was wrong. They feel like
no. And what's so ridiculous about this is, I call this the ghost of Mueller past. I mean, they knew weeks into the investigation, and you were the DNI. I mean, they knew weeks into the investigation that there was no Russia collusion. Yet the bureaucracy, even within the special counsel's office, kept this thing agitated and going so that they went on to the obstruction issue, which they could never establish either. So I think when you look at all of this, it begs that same question. Is, you know, the politicization of the agencies is very dangerous for a constitutional republic like the United States. But these agents did it. I mean, they picked up Congressman Perry yesterday walking with his family.
Yeah, they're going to be unable to self-correct. It's the same thing that we see not only with the Russian collusion, but with Hunter Biden's laptop.
And it's the same people, unfortunately, we saw that. Did we lose Rick again? All right, so we got Rick back. I mean, because, Rick, we're seeing the same people, too. If you were in this enforcement agency, right? So the guy who is in charge now of the Washington field office who's running this for the FBI was the same guy who got in trouble for entrapment of American citizens who were supposedly going to kidnap the Michigan Democrat governor, and the cases were all thrown out, two dismissed, two mistrials, and he gets promoted to investigate to be the lead investigator of the former president of the United States, something that is hyped with a lot of issues, even if it was a legitimate investigation. So it's like you can fail up inside the FBI and these law enforcement agencies so long as you have the right politics.
Well, look, that to me, this guy and his promotion is one of the best examples to show the politics has totally permeated what's happening inside DOJ. Because when you are selected and promoted because you've been very political and you've done these political investigations, they are prioritizing politics.
But this is at a level that we say unprecedented. I mean, Rick, this has never happened in our history where, and apparently over documents. I mean, this isn't like, you know, somebody committed a violent crime here and the FBI is going in on a violent crime. This is allegedly, now we haven't seen the warrant, so I don't know. I mean, but all the reports are indicating this is over documents. And they went and executed a search warrant on the former president, who everyone knows is about to announce at some point in the near future, as the president said the other day, that he's going to run for president. And they execute a search warrant on his residence over documents.
Don't you think it's a little odd that everything in Washington, D.C. leaks against Donald Trump, everything, but the warrant hasn't leaked? I think that that's really odd. And for me, it just shows the political nature of what's happening. This is over documents. It's scary that they resorted to this. And I don't believe for one second that Ron Klain and Susan Rice didn't get a wink and a nod as to what was coming.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you who did get a wink and a nod. The Deputy Attorney General of the United States and the Attorney General of the United States. There's no way they were not informed, but there's no way they did not authorize it. It had to come from the top. And I think this, you know, Merrick Garland is they were, when they used to go after Bill Barr and Republican AGs going way back, I mean, this is, could you imagine if it was a Republican president, if Trump was in there right now and he authorized this on Hillary Clinton now, even now? But when Hillary Clinton had the whole issue with documents, okay, including classified documents on the server in her house, did they ever issue a search warrant of their residence? Of course not.
Maybe next time.
No, and one other point to that. If I can make one other point, the person that Hillary Clinton blamed for sending her classified information on her printer was Jake Sullivan, who got promoted to the National Security Advisor. She blamed Jake. Jake was the fall guy, and he still became National Security Advisor with access to compartmental
You get to fail up inside their federal government. That's why I think, listen, they've changed the paradigm.
Yeah, they have.
Donald Trump is, you know, likely running for president. Becomes president, I'd be pretty nervous if I was Hillary Clinton now, because I think if this is okay, then what you said, that's still alive. And what about Joe Biden's decision making? Did he really not have anything to do with going after his number one political opponent as of right now is Donald Trump?
That's why this looks like a third world government.
Yes, it makes America look horrible, which is nothing good.
No,
none of us want that, but we realize you have to accept it, deal with it, and work on it,
which is what we're doing.
So I appreciate Rick joining us. Again, second half hour coming up. Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be joining us as well, so you don't want to miss that. Give us a call. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. How angry are you at the Biden administration and your federal government?
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to the second half hour of Seculo. I just want to remind you, Congressman Jim Jordan, who really flagged all of this for us before this all happened, back in a letter in, I've got this in July 27th, when he said that the whistleblowers have learned that we've got the pressure on the domestic violent extremism. But in the second page of the letter to Christopher Wray, he wrote, "We also have multiple whistleblowers disclosed how the Biden FBI is conducting a, quote, purge of FBI employees holding conservative views." So Congressman Jim Jordan will be joining us in this half hour.
They've got a lot of explaining to do here. Okay, both on the nature of what happened. I mean, they need to call the press conference. You can't disclose the nature of their case and discuss what led to this incident. Okay, because the only thing they didn't have was, you know, frogmen in the, like they did with Roger Stone in the water. Maybe they did. I have no idea. But this shows you how absurd. Our friend Tulsi Gabbard has, as many people have spoken out against across the political spectrum here. Listen to what she had to say.
"These things are what happen in banana republics where dictators have federal agencies, including law enforcement, to act as their own personal goon squads. This is something that every American should be extremely concerned about, because this raid is just the latest serious escalation of this disturbing trend that we've seen of blatant abuse of power by those in power, to not only protect their friends, but to target their political opponents, or frankly, anyone who dares to dissent or challenge or disagree or even question what this administration is doing. And there are a number of examples that we can point to, not only abuse of power within the Department of Justice, within the FBI, our law enforcement agencies, but also in the Department of Homeland Security and the IRS."
So there is, again,
the alphabet list of agencies.
Yes. Let's go to Marcus in California. Marcus, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot for doing all this stuff. I'm praying that God uses you greatly. But what bugs me is all these lies and false accusations. Why can't Donald Trump go after them, sue them for, what do you call it?
Like harassment? Look, I mean, I think they have initiated, some of his lawyers have initiated lawsuits there. Those are very difficult to win. Look, this is an ugly political environment. But what they fail to understand here is, I mean, if you're another Republican thinking about running for president, this probably changed your calculation. Because, and that's early, like Jordan, you would say it's early. But it changes the political calculation, because all of a sudden, they created, by doing this action, a martyr. And when I say a martyr, I mean they raided his house. You execute, or in the legal term, executed a search warrant on his personal residence. The nature of that action, in and of itself, escalated the political aspect of this, the legal aspect of this. So I think the concern has to be, as an American citizen, is we don't want our agencies doing this. And that is my concern here. It changes, and it, like you said, Jordan, how we're viewed internationally, it looks like a joke.
Yeah, I think it weakens our country significantly when you have this kind of division in the country. It's not just politics, but, I mean, full-on division where half the country doesn't even trust the institutions of government. Not that they don't like the politicians in charge. That's one thing. The Putins of the world, the Xis of the world, they look at us, they laugh. They laugh because we're putting our political opponents through the same kind of political persecution that they do, and we condemn them for. How on earth will we condemn them for doing that kind of political motivated law enforcement? You know, they all use the rule of law as dictatorships, and they call Trump the dictator. This is the guy being persecuted. This is the guy who showed up at his house. They're not showing up at Joe Biden's house, and they didn't show up at Hunter Biden's house. They're not showing up at, again, Hillary Clinton's home. They didn't show up at Jim Comey's after he took documents.
They didn't even execute warrants, search warrants.
Right.
So then, I mean, even for their, they were negotiating. This is what's so ridiculous. The double standard is so, the hypocrisy here is incredible, again.
Yeah. So anybody federal starts knocking on your door, don't trust them. Because if the good people inside the federal government, unfortunately, I don't think there's enough of them left, they should quit. They have another option. They should no longer be a part of this so-called, you know, law enforcement in our country when politics is overrunning.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
All right, welcome back to Secular. There's a lot of people saying, yeah, could have done less intrusive ways. We talked through that. But I think we have to assume now with these actors, by the way, they're creating quite a precedent to go after them politically too. And I am not someone who says, by the way, if Republicans get in charge of these agencies, that they shouldn't use them the same way they do. Intimidate. Why not? I mean, this is okay now? It's okay. So should we assume that every former president is going to be raided because their political opponents fear them, don't like them still being involved? I mean, they've silenced the guy to a point where, I mean, they can barely play a soundbite of him on our broadcast because we're on social media right now.
And they'll take it down.
Okay, but they still are so obsessed with him because they fear him politically and the movement that he created. But, you know, it creates a precedent for these Democrats who were always the ones in real trouble. I mean, the kids are smoking crack with prostitutes and doing deals with China, and their dad's in there, referred the big guy, the 10% cut, and they really want the FBI politically. What if we put in all conservatives?
Which conservatives would never do. This is the truth. And in the end of the day, the conservatives never do it. But no. Andy, I want to talk about process here for a minute.
Maybe because that's why they're not worried about the precedent sets.
I think that's right, because they know that the conservatives would never do that.
But maybe we need some new conservatives.
Well, here's the issue. In a situation like this, and it appears that this is the case, that this is a document issue, right? I mean, that's what everything indicates, that this was a dispute over documents. Why would you not start a process in civil litigation of a subpoena ducis tecum, subpoena for the production of documents?
Well, that's what you would do. This was a question of what documents belong in the archives and which don't, which are presidential, which are personal, which are political, which don't belong. And it's been an ongoing discussion, okay, between the archivist and the attorneys for President Trump is what I am led to believe. Now, if you believe that something needs to be produced, you use a subpoena for the production of documents.
Not a search warrant into the residence of the former president.
That's right. Search warrants are because there is threats to national security, because there's crimes are being committed, because evidence may be destroyed, because you have to preserve it. That's not the case here, Jay.
Our colleague in the first impeachment trial, Alan Dershowitz, issued a statement on this. Take a listen.
The raid is supposed to be a last resort. But this administration has used the weaponization of the justice system against its political enemies. It's arrested people, denied them bail, put them in handcuffs, used all kinds of techniques that are not usually applied to American citizens. And I just hope this raid has a justification. If it doesn't have a justification, the material seized in it will be suppressed.
Well, I mean, we don't even know what they got. I mean, they reportedly came out with 13 boxes, but I want to go back to the fundamental here. This just, it does remind me of the ghost of Bob Mueller past, because with all of the tumult, and then they were executing warrants against all these people, and then on Russia, nothing. So it's all this buildup, Andy, all this hype, and then nothing.
Well, that's what happened with Mueller. I mean, they told us this was going to happen and that was going to happen.
And we knew.
And we, you know, we have this evidence and we have that evidence. And the reality is nothing came out because there was nothing there.
But what they did do, Jordan, as you said, was they had an FBI agent, actually an FBI lawyer, change an email, submit it to a FISA court to get a FISA warrant on an American citizen. Yeah, that they did. That the FBI did. And what did they do? Oh, and then they couldn't find their phones. Remember that?
Yeah.
We want the evidence. Oh. Somehow they're gone, and they've been wiped out.
Lisa Page's phone is gone. That was a special counsel's office, too. I mean, they were disastrous on that.
Yes, it was Bob Mueller's office under his watch. They let the evidence be destroyed. Why didn't someone bring an investigation against him?
Yeah, I mean, is Bob Mueller's house should be raided? I mean, this is the precedent they are starting to set. And I just say, watch out, because there is a new conservative group that's been forming. They know that. And they're not the Republicans of their generation. So you start setting this as the norm, it will happen to them too. Because I think that there is a new group coming up that will not be as afraid. Now, should it all be go back to normal where we don't do this to each other? Yeah.
Yes.
But if this is the norm that we have to operate in politically, no trust of for now of federal agents, and be prepared for political, as I've called it, it's political war. Use every available option you can to fight back.
President Joe Biden was on Jimmy Kimmel, one of the evening talk shows, in June of this year. Listen to this. Listen to this response. Take a listen.
Because I often get asked, look, the Republicans don't play it square. Why do you play it square?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? If we do the same thing they do, our democracy will literally be in jeopardy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Not a joke. And
I understand their argument, but also it's like you're playing Monopoly with somebody who, you know, won't pass go and won't follow any of the rules. And how do you ever make any progress if they're not following the rules?
Well, you've got to send them to jail, you know.
Very funny. Okay. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. Apparently over documents, Andy.
Well, that's what it is. It's a dispute over paper. It's a dispute over documents. It's not a dispute over something of national security proportions. And in the letter that was sent by the ranking member of the Intelligence Committee, he would say that if you are going a search warrant route, then something must pose a serious ongoing threat to the national security. That's not the case.
Well, as far as we know.
I don't think so. I don't see the country coming to its knees over the fact that for 15 months or so they've been arguing, over boxes of documents that have occurred, and then to go to a magistrate and get this? I don't understand this.
This thing could be, Jordan, so benign as far as they're going to say. They could say, well, we thought these documents were available and they wouldn't give them to us, so that we had no choice but to execute a search warrant. I think that's, if you hear from the Justice Department, I think that's what they're going to say.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be that benign.
Yeah. So I think, again, where people realize here is don't think that they're going to correct this. They've already taken this unprecedented, ridiculous step. I think it's backfiring as we speak. They have consistently made bad political decisions with this law, trying to politicize law enforcement. It might serve some of their purposes. First, their liberal base thinks it's great, but their liberal base makes up 30% at most of their party. And I still think they still don't think Merrick Garland's doing enough effort. Until Donald Trump is in jail, he's not doing enough. But obviously, he's feeling the pressure of his aides, who are a bunch of liberal punks. And again, it's kind of like when Jean-Pierre talks about mortgage and interest, and you just realize she has no idea what she's talking because she's never paid any of it. She just has no real-world experience to any of this. So she sits up there and claims, not a single person under $400,000 a year will be audited.
You know that's not
by the IRS. Right. First of all,
baloney.
What if somebody it's just not a stupid thing to say, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I guarantee
how can you
that's
make
not
that
case.
Statement? It's just like, again, the American people, I know they've lost a lot of faith and trust on both sides of the aisle. A lot of people have tried to check out, but every time you try to check out, they do something so crazy that you realize, you know what, I better engage. And I think this was one of these moments.
I think this is, look, this is galvanized across the political spectrum, when I say political spectrum, within the Republican group.
Yeah.
I mean, now let's take Warren's call from Idaho.
Hey, Warren, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. And real quick, I want to tell everybody, donate to the ACLJ.
We appreciate that.
But my question would be, I'm watching it from the outside, and I see them, and my question is, how much are they pushing to find something on him to where they can keep him from ever running again?
With everything they've got, okay? Except it's politically, Jordan, having the opposite effect.
Yes. I mean, this is the thing. It's because they likely have nothing, you know, because to American people, if this is about pieces of paper that were in his possession, and a president can declassify however they want, whatever they want, classification is made up only for presidents. And anything, I mean, they could take any document. They could take the most secret document of the United States in that we've got in possession and willy-nilly declassify it. That's the kind of power the commander-in-chief has. The bureaucracy probably doesn't love that, but it's true. So you're going to try to explain to people that you needed a violent-style raid. You know, 100 agents we're hearing, 30 going inside for 9 hours over pieces of paper when almost everything printed these days is digital. So that's confusing. Like, why isn't this on a file somewhere? Why is this on a server somewhere? All this physicality is so 1970s.
But search warrants are very much that way unless they go after cyber material.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's part of this. So you brought up a really good point. This normally the investigations now, and this is way after we were with the government, right, is very focused on cyber issues and also cyber data. When they hit the congressman Perry, they went after his phone because the phone had a lot of data. This is very different.
They didn't go after his office.
No,
because all you need is the phone. The phone has the office.
Right.
Well, here they're back to the old style paper. We're going to go after paper. We're going to go after boxes of documents because evidently they're convinced some federal magistrate that there is a crime that's been committed. You can't get a search warrant unless you say that a specific crime is being committed or is being concealed and that the documents we're seeking are evidence of the instrumentalities and the mechanisms of that crime. I'm afraid I don't see it right now.
All right, folks, we come back. Congressman Jim Jordan is going to be joining us. He has pointed this out last month, the problems inside the FBI. Now we're seeing him in action yet again. So you don't want to miss that. Congressman Jim Jordan joining us live on the broadcast. Coming up next, go to ACLJ.org. Stay updated on all the issues. Support our work, ACLJ.org. After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Second, I want to get right to it because we're joined by Congressman Jim Jordan. And Congressman Jordan, last month, and we talked about this with Congressman Jordan, he sent a letter to Christopher Wray. It's kind of predicting a lot of what we've now seen in this last 24 hours. In the letter, Congressman Jordan pointed out that whistleblowers have come to him and disclosed how there is a purge going on at the FBI of conservative employees, which we talked about, that this is not just about the top seventh floor, but we're starting to see this now permeate through the FBI. Congressman Jordan, thanks for joining us. Let me ask you that first, because these whistleblowers seem to be telling you that, hey, it's not just the seventh floor anymore. It's all the way down to FBI employees, that if you're conservative, you're being pushed out.
Well, yeah, we've had 14 whistleblowers. Think about that. 14 whistleblowers come to us, and we're in the minority. So we don't have a whole lot we can do other than tell their story. But they're still willing to come to us because it's so bad. They've come to us on the school boards targeting, targeting moms and dads to go to school board meetings. They're coming to us about the January 6th. They're coming to us about this pressure they're facing to label and categorize all cases as domestic violence extremism cases. So when you have that many agents come to you as whistleblower status, that tells you how bad this is. And then you couple it with what happened this week with the president and with Congressman Perry, it just shows you how dangerous and frightening this all is.
You know, Jim, one of the things that have me concerned, you know, after representing the president for those 4 years during the impeachments, during the Mueller issues, and then you mentioned Congressman Perry. I mean, he's walking with his family, and three FBI agents approached him to get his phone. Now, and executed a warrant. I mean, that's my understanding, it was a search warrant was utilized to do this. They are running amok of every guardrail that was set up, not only separation of powers, but just in a constitutional republic. What I said earlier in our broadcast, Jim, was no one is saying, no, this is not a good idea. We shouldn't do this. That's what has me concerned right now.
No, I totally agree. And context is always important. Remember, it was just a year ago when we learned that the Attorney General issued a memo to all U.S. attorneys saying, use the Patriot Act against moms and dads showing up at school board meetings. That happened at the prompting of a left-wing organization who was talking to the White House and to the Justice Department prior to ever sending the initial letter that was the pretext for all this. So then, and then you have 3 days ago, the Democrats passing legislation which creates 87,000 agents to harass taxpayers in this country, to use your money to come harass you, the taxpayer. Then we have what happened to President Trump, and then we have what happened to Scott Perry. And that's on top of the larger and broader context of what they've done to President Trump now with spying on his campaign, impeachment one, impeachment two, January 6th committee, and then, of course, the raid on his private residence. So that's the context. You're right, Jay. They've went past any and all constitutional guardrails. And that's what frightens so many Americans.
Yep.
Yeah, and one thing, too, I'm starting to see a pattern of, Congressman Jordan, and I wonder if you see the failing up inside these agencies so long as you're with the politics. So the field agent out in Michigan who botched that whole entrapment, supposedly, you know, they were trying to kidnap the Michigan Democrat Governor Whitmer, and then that case fell apart completely on entrapment grounds, mistrial grounds, and he gets then promoted to the Washington, D.C. office to run the Trump investigations. I mean, it just seems like these are the people who should have maybe lost their job or at least been demoted inside their careers, not elevated, yet I'm sure they share the politics of those in charge.
Yeah, and the scarier thing is, yet remember, the FBI actually altered evidence to get the initial warrants on President Trump. Kevin Kleinsmith, lawyer at the Justice Department, actually altered evidence that went in front of the court when they first started spying on President Trump and his campaign. So they've already proven they're willing to alter evidence, and you couple that with everything we have seen over the last several years, and then, frankly, all the lies we've caught the January 6th committee in, even though we don't get to sit in on the depositions, we don't get to see the transcripts, we don't get to see the evidence. We've caught them in a number of lies. Imagine how many other false statements they're given to the country that we have no idea of. So that's the broader context, and it's why I've been out and about across our district the last 3 days, and I don't know if I've ever seen people so concerned about where the greatest country in history, the United States of America, where we are headed.
And one of the things that have me concerned, Jim, is that you look at the situation, and if you're outside the United States looking at this, you're thinking, this doesn't happen in the United States of America, the bastion of liberty, the constitutional republic. It doesn't happen here, but it's exactly what's happened here.
I know, and it's why, you know, and you know how we change it? You change it on election day. That's how it works in this great country. And I think there is, I can sense it, you can feel it. I think Americans are fixing to make a big change on November 8th. I think it's coming. I travel all over our district, all over our state, and frankly, all over the country. And you can see that people are not only fed up with the stupid policies that are being done intentionally to our border, to inflation, to energy, to crime, all the bad things that have happened, and then foreign policy, but also our First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment due process rights. I mean, you name it, they've been assaulted. And I think the Americans are going to show up in a big way and make a change.
I've said this, Congressman Jordan, too. I think that the key for victory in 2022 and 2024 is that massive turnout. You know, that's how you get past all the doubts, all the issues. We just all have to turn out our vote, turn out our friends to vote, remind them 2 months from now, remember what happened to President Trump. Remember about the IRS agent, the 87,000 agents. Let's all come together, because I think that's the kind of turnout we need to see.
I agree completely. I think it's coming. This country is made up of all kinds of great people with common sense who understand how bad this is under this administration, what they're doing to the Constitution. And I think they're going to change. And then when they do, it's going to be incumbent upon Republicans to do what we said we would do, to act like President Trump did and actually get accomplished the things you told the voters you were going to go into office and fight for. That's what we got to do. Guys, I got to run. I apologize. I'm supposed to give a speech here.
But, hey, Jim, thanks so much. Congressman Jordan, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Andy, I want to follow up exactly with what the congressman was saying, where it's going. We keep talking about unprecedented. You were a U.S. attorney. I've worked with the government, too, in Treasury. This is really unprecedented.
It's never happened before.
In our entire history.
In the entire history of the United States, I've never known the house, the residence of a former president of the United States being raided, a search warrant, a criminal search warrant. Understand, a search warrant says that a crime has been committed, probable cause to believe, and that the fruits and instrumentalities of that crime are located in that location, and we need to go in to get them because otherwise they will be destroyed. That, to the house of a former president of the United States, unprecedented in the annals of American constitutional history, Jay.
Well, you know, they're alleging, of course, they're going to allege that that's what they were worried about, were documents being destroyed. But I'm going to tell you something. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the political environment you're in and what you're escalating here. And use least intrusive means. And that they decided not to do. They didn't go with the least intrusive mean. So they went with the most intrusive mean.
Yes, and it still makes no sense to me. And I think that if this is about pieces of paper, this has got to make no sense to a whole generation of Americans who are being honest about it, is that paper was generated by an electronic device. So unless you're talking about his handwritten notes, which those are his.
Right.
This is not the way you had to go about this. But you have people under significant pressure from the radical left.
And they're bending.
And again, this is what you do say, thank God Merrick Garland's not on the Supreme Court, because pressure obviously gets to him. Because over the last year, really no movement. And then the Democrats are saying, you know, they're going to like impeach him. They're going to impeach him if he doesn't take action against Trump. So he creates some action against Trump, even though it just doesn't make a lot of sense, even just looking at it on paper, because you said they bypassed one of the stages, which, again, you didn't have to go right to raid. And a lot of this was likely electronic. So what's the issue there? Why go right to search warrant raid? Why no subpoena? Because this is about politics. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.